God has a desired destination for each of His children for every season of life. How can we begin to explore what He has in store for us? Today, discover how to walk in God's very best and receive His very best for us. Stay tuned and be encouraged to press in by Pastor Paul.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, it's the vessel. It all comes down to perspective. You see, when there are issues, you usually will have two groups of people. One that will say, "Let's consider God. Let's consider how big our God is." Another company will say, "We'll just look in the natural and say it can't be done." But this morning, God is encouraging us that we should be people that don't just look at how big the issue is, how big the mountain is, how big the situation is, but we look at how big our God is. We should be like the person. Notice what Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. He says, "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Truly I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Say to that mountain, "Mountain, get out of my life." And your mountain may be different from my mountain. You see, the truth of the matter is, when God was creating in the beginning, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. We'll see something there. That is the kind of faith that he's talking about here. But go to Genesis chapter 1. You see something there. He says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The earth was formless, empty. But God said, "Let there be," and there was. And it's the same in our lives. Sometimes our life seems empty. Our life seems void. Our life seems we are overwhelmed with darkness. But the Spirit of God is around. He's hovering. And as we begin to speak in the name of Jesus, the Spirit of God goes to work on our behalf and transforms the circumstances of our lives. Oh, you can say to that pain, "Pain, leave my body now. You demons tormenting my life, leave me now in the name of Jesus Christ." You see, you might say, what my faith that I have is very, very little. What I have is very little. And that is the kind of faith that Andrew had. His faith was very little, but when he yielded his faith and believed in Jesus, a miracle happened. Today, somebody might say, "I don't have a good educational background. I don't have a good degree. My past is very bad. My past is awful. My past is not good. There is nothing I can offer to God. I'm in a very desperate circumstances. It's very little. But that little faith is what Jesus is looking for. That little that you have in your life and in your hands is what God is interested in. It's so important to realize that. You see, that little is what God is interested in. One day, Joseph, our second son, he was tested. He went and had his eye tested, and they said he needed glasses. Then while he was there, he just told the eye doctor that I don't need the glasses. God will heal me. I'm just paraphrasing whatever he said. That is his faith. That is his little faith. That is his faith. So he started wearing the glasses for a little bit because he was facing challenges in school, seeing the board. And at some point he said, I don't need the glasses. God has healed my eyes. That is his faith. And he started going to school without the glasses. And he didn't have any problems again. And the next time that he was checked, the doctor said, he doesn't need the glasses. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That is his little faith. He put it into action. Whatever you have. Notice there's something here I want us to see. Thank you, Lord. In John, notice this. In Luke chapter 17. We all have that prayer that the apostles, that the disciples cried out for. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. See something there. I haven't forgotten about where we started in John 6. We'll go back there, but it's all tied together. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. He says, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. That's the question. Lord, I want to have more faith. Notice what Jesus said to them. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. And which of you, having a serpent plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But would he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and get yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Thus he thanked the servant because he did the things which that were commanded him. I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. The question is, increase our faith. So everything that he says from verse 6 to verse 10 is talking in relation to the increase of their faith. He's answering their question. The first thing that he says is, if you have faith as a seed, don't despise that little faith that you have. You should do what? You can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey who? It will obey who? Talk to me now. Who will the tree obey? God or you? Yes, it will obey you. The tree is planted, but when you release your faith in words, the circumstances of your life that refuse to move, they will obey you. It says it's very little. Andrew says, what is this among so many? It will obey you. And so this morning, the dark places, the empty places, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray as you speak the word of God, may it all begin to obey you and come together. Then verse 7, he's also still talking about faith. He says, if you have a servant, and that servant comes home plowing or tending sheep, will you say to him, come at once and sit down to meat? But rather, will you say to him, prepare something for my supper and get yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink. What he's saying there is, your faith is like a servant. Don't let your faith take a break. Don't let your faith relax. Your faith must be actively out there working for you through the words that you are speaking. It may seem very little at once. You see, the more that your faith grows, the less formidable the circumstances of life become. I'll repeat that again. The more your faith grows, the less formidable the circumstances of your life become. It may seem like a mountain today, but as you exercise your faith where you are, then when another thing comes up, then your faith would have grown beyond that, and then it will keep growing. But sometimes what we do is we wrap up that faith, don't use it, and bury it. I pray you won't do that. Let your faith, God has given you faith for you, it's a servant to you. He says when it comes back from working and you see one result, it comes back from doing something, don't let it sit down. He said, keep it. Don't forget all that is in relation to the question they asked, Lord, increase our faith. The way to increase your faith is to put it into action. It's to keep it at work and let it keep working. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, going back to our text, Andrew saw that he had a tiny faith. What is this among so many? What is this faith that I have going to do? What is this little that I have in my life? What is it going to do? This gift, this talent, this time, this finances, what good is it going to do? The little put in the hands of Jesus can go a long way. It can go a very long way. Very important to realize that. Somebody will say, I mean, what do I have? What is this little? What difference would it make? Notice what the Bible says. In Psalm 103, thank you, Lord Jesus. Psalm 103. Let's go there. Psalm 103, glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. He says, don't forget. Don't forget the Lord and his benefit. There is a tendency for us to forget. There's a tendency for us to get to the place where we forget God, his goodness, his mercies, and what he's done in our lives. And we just look at things from the natural standpoint. You see, the Bible says that God is a spirit. You don't see God with your physical senses. There is a spiritual world and there's a physical world that we live in. And the spiritual world is just as real, even more real than this world that we see. And everything that was created that we see in this natural realm came out of that area, that realm. So when you look at the natural and when you look at the physical, you begin to feel hopeless. You begin to feel that, I mean, there is no way I can come out of this. And that's what you believe. And then you keep saying that. But if you switch, make a switch and say, oh, I serve a God who is higher than anything that I'm faced with, who is bigger, who is stronger, who is able. I will not forget his benefit. One time I was sick and he healed me. Oh, one time he healed me. One time he's provided for me. How many of us have ever received an answer to prayer before? Oh, if God has answered prayer before, he can do it again. So he says, forget not all his benefits. Don't forget his benefits. God is not out of resources. God's resources are unlimited. But usually he will ask you, what do you have? When they brought the barley loaves and two fish to Jesus, the barley loaves was in those times was food for the poor, and the two fish was like a side dish for them. And they said that the fish was so salty you wouldn't even want to have it. So someone will say, that's what he's saying. What value is it? But when it was put in the hands of Jesus, that is a different story. We are talking about something entirely different. His resources are without limits. The question is, what do you have? Ask yourself that this morning. To Moses, he had a rod. And Moses, when God called Moses, Moses said, God, you know I'm a fugitive. I'm a wanted man in Israel. If you are looking for somebody to go and deliver your people, you found the wrong person. Go and look for somebody else. And God asked him, what do you have in your hands? What do you have? Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. He says, then Moses answered and said, but suppose they would not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to him. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And reach out his hand and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has appeared to you. What do you have in your hand? Oh, it was an ordinary rod, but that is what God said. And the name of that rod was changed to the rod of God. And in Exodus chapter 4, verse 17, he says to him, and you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. Take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. What do you have in your hand? The thing that you have in your hand, when it is yielded to God and God applies his power to it, it becomes a different story. Now you are not just dealing with a rod. Now you are dealing with the God that created the rod. Now you are not just dealing with me. You are dealing with the God that created me. Now you are not just dealing with an ordinary person. You are dealing with somebody who the hand of God is on. Take this rod with which you will do signs. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. And you know for us what the rod is? Oh, that rod is the Lord Jesus. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1. He says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. And in John 1:1, he calls Jesus the Word. So now, what do you have? Oh, you have the Word of God which lives and abides forever. Take that rod in your hand. Take that word and put it in your mouth and begin to speak it. Begin to see yourself, oh, like God sees you in his word, and begin to believe and speak his word out of your mouth. The Spirit of God will take those words and begin to create and transform the barren places of your life. This is good eating. I'm happy already. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Take this rod with which you will do signs. Take this word with which you will do signs. Take what do you have? Sometimes I take an inventory of what I have. Oh, I have God the Father. Oh, I have Jesus. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He ever lives to make intercession for me. And my Lord and my God, I have the mighty Holy Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And where is he? He indwells me now. He lives in me now. Oh, thank God, I have the blood of Jesus, the blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Thank God I have have angels that have been assigned to me. They are all around me. The Bible says the angel of God encamps around the righteous. Oh, they will not cause my foot to stumble. 1,000 may fall on this side, 10,000 on the other side, but it will not come near me. Oh, that is my inventory. I have the word of God that lives and abides. I have the word, oh, that is powerful. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, I have that word, and that word coming out of my mouth, no mountain can resist it. No circumstance can resist it. Oh, God is on my side, and if God is for me, who can be against me? God is on your side. No one can be against you. No circumstance can be against you. You don't serve a dead God. You serve a living God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not asleep on the job. Today is not his first day on the job. He's still the same. You don't need to worry. You don't need to be concerned. All you do is yield your life to him. And this morning, I see God turning somebody's circumstance around. I see God taking you from where you are to where you are supposed to be. Consider God. Consider how big he is. Consider how good he is. Oh, somebody shout, yes! Oh, glory. What do you have? That's my inventory. That is what I have. Oh, my God is alive. Oh, and because he lives, I live also. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, my. What do you have? What do you have? One time, Prophet Elisha went into the house of a widow in 2 Kings chapter 4. And this widow, the prophet, had died and left dead for the family. Notice 2 Kings chapter 4. My. I'm excited. I feel like running around this building. He says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant fear the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 4. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not just gather a few, And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the kind of God that we serve. The God of abundance. The God with whom there is no limit. But he asked the woman, what do you have in your house? She said, a little jar of oil. That is all I have. The prophet said, that's good enough. We can work with this. God can work with this. God can work with this. God can work with this. So many times you look at your life and you say, I mean, what value is my life? What good is my life? And what good can come out of my life? God doesn't see you that way. You see, if God cares about the birds of the air, notice, he says in Luke chapter 12, verse 29, notice this, Luke chapter 12, verse 29, he says, and do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For your Father knows the thing, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. Now he's talking about the things that we need from a natural standpoint. Verse 24 says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barns, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? They tell us that birds are the most, we have the most number of birds of all the species of animals. They number the most. So they number even more than human beings. So if God can feed this many birds, oh, your utility bill is what you cannot solve. Come on. That's easy. That's easy. That's easy. Think about that question. Are you of more value than the birds? He says they neither reap, neither sow, neither do they reap. You are not of more value than them. Or they are not of more value than you. You are more valuable than them. Your Father feeds each and every one of them. He says the lilies of the field, they are clothed very well. Solomon in all his glory wasn't as clothed as those lilies. That's how much God cares about you. Don't say your life is insignificant. He will ask you, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your life that you can yield and give to me? God always looks for willing and available people. People who are willing to yield and to obey him. You are of more value than them. Think about it. Think about it. My. So don't look at the, Andrew was looking at the huge crowd. Don't look at the circumstances of your life that sometimes seem so overwhelming. Put it against your God. And it will all seem very little when compared to the greatness of our God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. They brought the fish and the loaves to Jesus. You know what Jesus Christ did when he first took it? We read it earlier. He didn't just say, most of us would say, what? In our language, are you kidding me? No, Jesus didn't do that. When he took it, the first thing that he said, John chapter 6, verse 11, and when Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks. That's the key right there. He himself knew, remember, he himself knew what he would do. What is he going to do? He's going to take that, and when he takes it, he's going to thank God for it. Father, I thank you for my life. Father, I thank you for a place to stay. Thank you for a car to drive. Thank you for the gifts that you have placed in my life. Thank you, Lord, for the food on my table. Find something to thank God for. Don't focus on what is missing. Focus on what you have that you can thank God for. What do you have in your life that you can thank God for? Thank God my arms are moving today. Thank you, I got up, my feet still work. They took a step. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for my family. Oh, thank you, Lord, for my friends. Thank you, Lord. Oh, for my pastor. Thank you, Lord. Oh, for my church family. Thank you, Lord, for the love that I'm surrounded. We begin to thank God for something. Thank you, God, for the job that I have. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. He lifted it and gave thanks. In the natural, you will look at it and say, what is this? Of what value is this? 5,000 men beside women and children. What is this? Not Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wake up every day. What do I have to thank God for today? Thank you, Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I am not counted among the dead today. Thank you, Lord. I am alive. Thank you, Lord. I am alive. There is breath. I'm still breathing. Thank you, Lord. I may be surrounded and overwhelmed by problems, but thank you, Lord. Oh, you and I together, we will win. You and I together, we will overcome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you are still alive. You care about me. Oh, I refuse to be anxious. I refuse to be anxious. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now the word becomes a sword. Now the word becomes a rod in your hand. Lord, thank you. You said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon you, for he cared for me. Father, thank you that you care for me. I cast all my cares upon you. These cares want to overwhelm me. These cares want to take me over. But Lord, I cast all my cares upon you. I refuse to worry. I refuse to be overtaken by anxiety. I refuse to be anxious. If you can feed the birds, you can feed me. If you can clothe the lilies of the field, you can clothe me. Oh, I cast all these cares upon you. Oh, for you care for me. I will not worry. Oh, for sufficient unto the day thereof is it evil. Oh, I refuse to worry. I refuse to worry. I cast my care on you. Worry won't change anything anyway. It says it won't add one hair even to your head. It won't change anything. God never forgets. God loves you so much. Notice what he says in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15. Isaiah 49, verse 15. Thank you, Lord. He says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget you, yet I will not forget you. Be comforted with that. A breastfeeding mother may forget her child, but I will not forget you. I will not forget you. I will not. That's how much God cares about us. Isaiah, let these scriptures be your anchor in this season. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10. Thank you, Lord. He says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I like that. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Don't fear. I'm with you. Do not be dismayed. I'm your God. Who is your God? Oh, who is your God? God. I am your God. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Mark it in your Bible. It's marked in mine, in my app. It's marked in here. I'm not letting it go. He's the one that will help me. He's the one that will strengthen me. He's the one that will uphold you with his righteous right hand. I am your God. I am your God. You see, that in this world, we have trouble. Job puts it this way in Job chapter 5, verse 7. He says, yet a man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. When I saw this, this is interesting. As the sparks fly upward, man is born to trouble. He goes through so many difficulties. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation or test or trials. But what? Be of good cheer. Hallelujah. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And because he overcame, we also overcome as well. We are born to trouble, tests, trials, tribulations, all these things. But he says, I will be with you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But if you wander away from Jesus, then the problems keep piling up. And so when Jesus, after they had eaten, after they had had their meal, the Bible says everyone was full. See, when God provides, he provides to the overflow. With much left over, he says, gather up the fragments that nothing be lost. Jesus is against waste. Look in your life. Look at where the time is going, the money is going, the food is going. Eliminate waste. It's against waste. Waste of your resources, waste of your life, waste of all these things. Gather up the fragments that nothing be lost. He provided with some left over. And he says the disciples help gather the fragments. He says the disciples are usually the people who are around in the church setting. They are the ones helping out. Let the disciples gather the fragments. And when, who do you think the fragments will go to? If I'm the young boy who brought the lunch, please, it started with me. I brought the food. But he yielded what he had to Jesus. Jesus took it. You see, when we yield our lives to God, when we yield our time, our finances, all these things to God, in our mind, it's like, what significance is it? But it makes all the difference. Recently, I talked to someone. He called me and we were talking. I was like, wow, I remember our high school days, the words that you used to speak to us, the way you ministered and all these things. And I've forgotten. I mean, there's a number of years ago. It's like, wow, I remember the impact that you made on my life. To me, I was just doing God's work. I was just being faithful, just doing God's work. But yeah, I mean, the kind words, the things that you do for people every day, God takes it and uses it for his glory. What is it that you have in your hand? You have his word. You have all these things. There was a story in Atlanta recently. A young boy, he was playing outside and he was kidnapped. And for 3 hours, he was in the car of the kidnapper. But when he got in there, he just started, he remembered his grandmother was very still a Christian, so was taking him to church. And he remembered the song, Every Praise. And he just started singing, every praise is to our God. Don't let me sing this morning. Every praise. But the kidnapper said, keep quiet, stop singing. And he put on the gospel, every praise is to our God. That's all he had. Every praise. The man got so disturbed after a while, he said, get out of my car. Get out of my car. And that's how you got free. And Hezekiah Walker, who wrote the song, he actually visited a boy in his church in Atlanta and sang that beautiful song with that little boy. He made national news. But that's all he had. Every praise is to our God. You always have something in your hands. You always have something that you can give to God. And as you yield it to God, he will multiply it for your deliverance. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Does this help us this morning? It helps. It helps a lot. It makes all the difference, your perspective, how you look at it. You can either look at God or you can look at what you're faced with. Make a decision and a choice to look at God. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Well, this morning is anointing service. And you see the anointing. In the psalmist said in Psalm 92, verse 10, that I shall be anointed with fresh oil. You see, the anointing is God's empowerment on our lives to do the impossible, to do what we cannot naturally do. And for the children of Israel, no one became a king or a priest or a prophet in the land without the anointing. David was anointed in 1 Kings. Notice, in 1 Kings chapter 16, thank you, Lord. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 13. He says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And what? the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. From that day forward, his life was not the same again. And the next thing that you see happening in the life of David is in chapter 17, he slew Goliath. Chapter 18, he became the chief of defense in the land by the anointing. By the anointing. He says the Spirit of God came upon him from that day forward. And in Isaiah chapter 61, Jesus quoted that verse also in Luke chapter 4. But in Isaiah 61, he says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. That is what the Spirit of God can do in our lives. So when you are anointed this morning, I pray the broken places of your life, Jesus is anointed, he says, to heal. To heal. The areas of your life where you shed tears, that sometimes it's difficult to even talk to people about it. My prayer is, as you are anointed this morning, may God heal you. May God make you whole. And Jesus, one day he sent his disciples in Mark chapter 6, and the Bible says he gave them power. And I can think about Thomas. You ask them, where is the power? But the Bible says that they went and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And in James, he also talked about the fact that if you are sick, you can call for prayer using the anointing oil. And in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, thank you, Lord. He says, thank you, Father. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, he says, the yoke, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. And you see, in the East, what the shepherd used to do is that he would take the anointing oil and routinely anoint those sheep to keep away those insects, those infections, keep them away. The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil.
We pray this message has encouraged you to reach for God's best. Be sure to download our WMCI app from your app store to stay connected and grow with many great resources we have available for your Christian growth.